This episode of CineScare Horror Podcast is brought to you by CineScare Productions' own second short film, On Halloween Night, premiering this October 24th, that's Friday, October 24th, only on YouTube. So check it out.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let me come in.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Welcome to the CineScare Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And with us, as always, is the super fan, Mr. Mark Piscati.
Good evening, everybody.
And with us as well, from now on, is Catherine Horan. Sorry. I almost said Catherine O'Hara.
Catherine O'Hara or something.
Catherine Horan.
Hello.
Here we are. We're in the midst of Shocktober. Dun. Wah, wah, wah. Wah. And you know what that means? That means that some of us watch one horror movie every single day. Catherine, do you keep up that tradition yourself? Oh, nice. And Joe, you do, right?
I certainly do.
Yeah, and same with me. Mark, on the other hand, I don't think has ever really kept that up, right?
I can't.
Are you doing it this year, Mark?
I can't. No. Huh. I can't do it.
I mean, the other day, I think you said you watched Magic or something like that, right? But you're not doing one a day. Yeah. I mean,
what's wrong with Magic?
Nothing. It's one I just said, but you did one at least. But
yeah.
All right. And, you know, if you're short on time, you can always supplement it with a short or an episode of TV or something. Joe. Tell us all about your Shocktober so far. Has it been splendid for you?
It's been fruitful. Let me give you some highlights, if I will.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched all of Monster, the Ed Gein story, all 8 hours of it, and I enjoyed 7 hours of it. Hmm. The last episode is completely bizarre. There's a dance number in it. Yeah, I've heard that. I don't get it. I wish I could have compelled myself to just turn it off after 7, but I've got that completist in me, so couldn't do it. But I do recommend it. I did like it. It was interesting. And as my wife and I were watching it, we learned all these other facts about Ed Gein that weren't in the show because there's some downtime that we're just sitting there on our phones looking up going, is that true? Is that true? And of course, we dive deeper and deeper into the rabbit hole. But yeah, I learned more probably about Ed Gein off the internet in the last 5 days than I did watching it. So
yeah, well, there's a lot of stuff that just isn't true in it.
And, you know, one thing that I'm flabbergasted about is he's one of the world's most famous serial killers, and he only killed 2 people.
Right. Yeah. The big thing that made him different is that he was digging up people and then taking their skin and wearing their skin. That's what really, made him so bizarre. But
yep, he was an oddball.
He wore their skins.
Yeah. That's where Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs, they got that. Leatherface came from him.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, Psycho. Yeah.
Jeez.
They did, and I'm not giving away anything, they did this thing that I kind of appreciated throughout the, as they were telling Ed Gein's story, when they came to something that influenced one of the famous movies like Psycho and whatnot, they would actually cut the scene to them doing like filming Psycho, like Alfred Hitchcock. Someone plays Alfred Hitchcock in this movie, you know, and they would cut to Silence of the Lambs. They would cut to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I just thought that was a neat little spin on it. So, but I digest. I watched Death Becomes Her. because I had seen it on Broadway, or as they say, Broadway.
Great movie.
Have you ever seen the movie before?
I saw, I think, bits and pieces of it. I don't know that I ever watched the whole thing from beginning to end, but I have now, and I've also seen the play. So I was good. I've done my usual The Shining. I also, my wife and I just watched The Substance, which is now on HBO. Mm-hmm. And got to tell you, we watched it on our basement theater surround system thing. The volume kind of cranked. I never realized just the audio in that film takes it to a whole nother level of disgusting. The sound effects throughout that film are just like heebie-jeebie. Yeah. More so than what you're seeing on screen. So, and then lastly, I did watch Dangerous Animals last night with Jai Courtney. And the first 9 minutes is so cool. Period.
so like, you didn't the rest of it.
I was so like jazzed. I'm like, oh my God, this is 9 minutes. The rest of it's going to be awesome. The rest of it was okay. The ending I wasn't too hip with, but it just kind of let me down after that. Thank God it was only an hour and a half. So
yeah. Mark, is that it, Joe? That was it, right?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, Mark. Have you what have you watched other than Magic?
I watched Catherine's Picks.
That's it. That's all you've watched all in October.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
Didn't you see? I thought you went to the theater or something. No.
Oh, I was gonna go see Good Boy,
but you didn't.
And but I chose Maverick. And
Jesus, Catherine, what did you watch? I'm so glad that you rejoined the podcast, Mark, for you to really put in some effort. I love it.
Yeah, man.
Catherine, what have you watched?
It's really earning his keep.
Yeah.
Such a long list. So I finally saw The Long Walk.
How was it?
Great. Really, it's so dark and bleak, but it was so good.
Yeah, super good.
Watching Alien Resurrection. I'm halfway through, but also enjoying that.
Great film.
And then just some of my... Did I say Resurrection? No,
Alien Earth, right?
Alien Earth, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was about to say, everybody was bashing Alien Resurrection, and you're watching Alien Resurrection. Like, hell yeah, it's a good movie.
I wrote Resurrection for some reason. Yeah, I'm halfway through that. And then just general movies I've been watching for Shocktober. We did a Little Shop of Horrors, Night of the Reaper, which is on Shudder. Bring Her Back, which is on HBO, which is really good.
I need to rewatch that.
Yeah, Bring Her Back is great. And I saw, I think I talked about Night of the Reaper last time or whatever. That was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Bring Her Back?
Yeah, Bring Her Back.
Yeah, that's great.
I'll watch that.
The guys
one.
That did Talk to Me.
Yeah. Second, it's 2025, right?
Yeah, it's a new.
Yeah, Mark, you should watch that.
Yeah, I'll watch that.
It may wander into your top 10 for the year.
Ooh. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I finally finished watching all the Hellraiser movies. So now I can say I have seen all of those.
Oh,
yikes. For better or worse.
So what did you think about the, I think it was like the last one with the interviewer woman? Guy, the guy that like sits down and he's interviewing this guy that they captured and like typing up all of this guy's like bad evil deeds and then feeds it to some other person.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean,
it's like it was directed by Glenn Danzig or something.
Right? Yeah.
But better.
It's just such a hodgepodge. Like they fall into this pattern of like making Seven inspired movies, you know, where it's very gritty and detective-y, you know, solving a murder and it.
Everything's a Nine Inch Nails video nowadays.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It's nothing. I don't know how they got from the original to some of those. There we are. Watched a really cool movie. It's on Shudder. It came out in 2013, but I'd never heard of it. It's called the WNUF Halloween Special.
Oh, I saw that on there. How was it?
It's so much fun. It's it's like somebody recorded this news special on their VHS tape back in 1986. And it's, you get all the commercials, you get the news report, and then after the news, after the evening news, there's one of the reporters is, you know, going into a haunted house. It's this house that no one's been in 20 years, and then weird stuff happens.
Yeah, I can't remember if I saw that. But it's a similar premise to that one we watched, Ghost Watch, I think.
Yes, or something. It's very much like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Catherine, you know how we were talking.
They did a great job making it feel like it was, you know, 40 years ago.
Catherine, you know how we were talking about how when you watch a movie and then when it's done, it's like, here's other things you might like.
Yes.
That was popping up when I was looking for the VHS.
Oh, okay.
That's on Shudder now.
Yeah. That was, I had a lot of fun watching that one. We watched Megan 2.0.
Okay, how was that?
If you go into it knowing it's not really a horror movie, it's more of an action movie, it's fun. Mm. It's got some fun kills. It's not awful. Mm. It's a good popcorn movie.
Okay.
And then we watch Svengoolie at our house every Saturday night. And they're doing double features the whole month of October. And so we watched Ghost and Mr. Chicken. Whatever happened.
Oh, with Don Knotts? That's a great one. Classic.
We watched Them and Arachnophobia. And then the last thing I watched, this is on Netflix. It's a short series called Wayward. And it's not quite horror, but it's horror adjacent. It deals with kind of cults and these reform schools where they kidnap teenagers in the middle of the night and take them to this, you know, kind of boarding school. Yeah. It's very interesting.
So do you have all 31 movies already for the month?
That's what it feels like, right?
Yeah. Although between you and Mark, if we average it out.
Right, exactly. Right, about where we should be. For Mark. Yeah.
Half the month. Works.
You can steal a few of mine.
Thanks.
Yeah. It's to steal a lot of yours.
Okay, so
what do you see, Matt?
My Shocktober started out strong with The Witch, and then it petered out on day two with House on Eden, which is a Shudder found footage. This movie, I think, was scientifically designed to drive Joe crazy. So I kind of feel like you need to watch it, Joe. This is a movie that
told
I would
me
love
not to.
I would love to see. I would love to hear your review of this. It is a found footage film that was made by an influencer, a TikTok influencer, who is mostly known for doing these little comedy, little clips or whatever. And she has a very kind of rubbery Jim Carrey kind of face. And I remember seeing a couple of her videos where she was basically lip syncing back during COVID. She was on everybody's, you know, feed and back in COVID. Anyway, so she has like 50 million followers or 5 million. I don't remember what it is, but it's a ton of followers. So she's got some money and she's got a built-in audience. So she was given the money to make her own little found footage movie. And it's not good. It's really, really bad. So actually, it's
a found footage film starring a internet social media influencer. And you think that's right up my alley?
No, I didn't say it was up your alley. I said, this is designed to be something you will hate, but I need you to watch it to hear it. In fact, I would like to have, I would love us to have a live stream of you watching this movie because
Just like to get my vitals during the film, like blood pressure and stuff like that.
There'll be a lot of angry grunting and rolling of eyes, I think. But House on Eden is one of the worst movies of the year.
Okay.
And then it went right back up for a couple nights because Good Boy was fantastic. I absolutely loved it. This is a really strange movie, but so good. And that dog is amazing. I thought it was fantastic. So definitely worth checking out again. This is a a guy, he's got some kind of health issue. We don't really know too much about the owners because we're seeing everything through the eyes of the dog, and the dog is super loyal. And then also at the end, if you do go see it in the theater, I would imagine it would be the same on streaming. At the end, they do kind of a mid credits. Maybe they do kind of a little, behind the scenes, how they made it. And it was made basically very handmade, do it yourself at home. This director and his wife, maybe a couple friends every now and then, would just did this over a course of a couple years. And it was a really interesting how they got the dog's reactions to things. And it was really cool. So, and I thought the movie itself was just fantastic. And then the next night we saw VHS Halloween, and I'm happy to say this is the best VHS movie in quite some time. So definitely, definitely worth checking out. Every single segment was good. The worst of the bunch was still good. I mean, it wasn't great for a while, but it ended, I thought, really, really good. Or it ended in a very interesting way, that segment. There is one segment that I thought was really disturbing, and it was the most disturbing segment of any VHS movie that I've seen. It was pretty brutal. It had to do with this guy who was like a serial killer of children, and they like showed things that I haven't seen before with kids. I thought was a little bit much at times, but it was pretty disturbing. The other ones were really good though. There was a really fun one called, I think it was called something candy. Fun Size. It was called Fun Size. That was really fun. A couple haunting ones. And even the one that was super disturbing, I thought was, pretty good too. So, definitely worth checking out if you feel like the V8, and I had felt like this series kind of played itself out a bit, but this is a pretty rejuvenating entry. We watched Monster as well. I we're like three or four episodes into it, and I just don't like it. I find it's that Ryan Murphy just sensationalism and a lot of stuff that just, was made up for the show that I was like, there's no way this happened. And I look it up and no, it didn't happen. I think he's playing it off as kind of hallucinations sometimes, but it doesn't work for me. But I imagine we'll finish it, even though I've heard that from Joe now and a few other people that the last episode was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, I watched our picks for Shocktober as well. I watched an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I probably watch this every year. Halloween, the Halloween episode from season two.
Which one?
Season two. The one called Halloween. That one's a fun one. And I will watch the other one from, I think it's season five, maybe. There was one at a frat house that I will check out too. That one was pretty creepy, actually, as I recall. I haven't watched it for a while.
Matt, you should try watching some of the Dawson Creek's Halloween episodes because it's Kevin Williamson.
Oh my god,
and they're awesome.
Yeah,
they're really good.
I've heard that.
My wife has currently started watching all of the Dawson's Creek, and she's up to season four.
That's brutal.
It's like it's on like 24/7 in our house.
Oh, it's so good.
Wasn't it on for like 20 seasons?
No, less than you think. I think there was only like six or seven seasons.
Yeah.
But there's 24 episodes a season.
It's other old school shows where it's 20 episodes. Oh, God.
God, I love Dawson's Creek.
That's terrible.
No, it's not.
Halloween 2018. I watched that. Love that. It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. Watch that. And then last but not least, on the 11th, I watched a really fun movie. Jimmy had told me that he really dug it, and that is Jimmy and Stiggs. It is for rent, and this is directed by Joe Begos, who directed Christmas Bloody Christmas, and another one that is now escaping me. I actually haven't seen yet. Bliss. He also directed VFW, but Christmas Bloody Christmas was one of my favorite movies a couple years ago, and I still love it. I'll watch it every Christmas. But this one is a lot of fun. It is it's a very strange movie. If you're not into Jeff Bezos style, then you'll hate it. But I like his stuff, and it is definitely gonzo. It is bonkers, just crazy. It's about this guy who feels like he was abducted by aliens and that they're going to be coming back to get him again and maybe kill him. And so his buddy Stiggs and him have to fight them off in his apartment. And this was shot over the course of 3 or 4 years by Jeff Bezos, basically by himself, and maybe with a short, small crew of friends or whatever. And it is insane. It is all practical effects. It is lit almost primary colors is in the lighting, but it's definitely worth checking out if you're into that kind of thing. If you're not it'll be something. There'll be some people who are really into practical gore and just crazy bonkers weirdness who will love it, and other people won't like it so much. But I really liked it a lot. So Jimmy and Stiggs, and that's it. Other than what our picks are, so.
In all honesty, I will admit I was trying to find Wicker Man.
Mm-hmm.
With the Nicolas Cage version?
Yeah, because I've never seen it.
Oh, yeah, I haven't either.
And I haven't and either.
I cannot find it anywhere.
Mm. I mean, I've always seen the clip. My eyes!
Yeah.
The bees. Yes,
that one, 2006. It is available for rent on Amazon and Apple.
Oh, yeah, pay money to watch a Nicolas Cage movie.
Well, I yeah,
Cage Rage.
It's yeah. Certainly not highly rated, but yeah,
all the more reason to throw money at it. Yeah,
well, that's true.
Give it a month or two; it'll stream somewhere.
Yeah. All right.
I was making a conscious effort to have Nicolas Cage wander into my Shocktober list, but
I love that, Joe. Actually, I was a little shocked that you had said you were looking for a Nicolas Cage movie. I'm so proud of you. I've got a good one for you. It's called Mandy.
Yeah, I know. Seen it.
Own it.
Yeah. All right. Well, this week our pick is Catherine Horan's pick, and it was a fun one, and that is a Vincent Price movie. What did we come up with the name for this one?
Yeah, hang on. Catherine.
Yeah, because you really
dropped the ball right off the bat.
Well, it was really bad.
So when you were on the show. Yeah. When you were on the show and you did Kevin Bacon picks and you said bringing home the bacon.
Right.
We were all knocked unconscious for like a week.
It was changed the way we titled things.
Yes.
So now Matt and I had to we're going to do Vincent Price movies. Matt and I had to go back and forth, do all the heavy lifting to come up with an appropriate title for this, which we are going with Our Prices Can't Be Beat.
Okay.
It was either that or The Price is Right. But
The Price is Right.
Prices Can't Be Beat.
I didn't even think to title it. You're right.
So we'll let this one slide.
Back on the bike here.
Come on.
And that's also going to put a lot of weight on Mark's shoulders.
Yeah,
next episode, because you've been warned, Matt or Mark.
I can't. We can't expect him to come up with a title. It'll be hard enough for him to come up with three good movies.
Well, for Mark, it's just three movies.
It's true. But I mean, I thought about it. I was like really trying hard for my next pick, upcoming. And Matt's like, oh, just don't even try. And I was like, all right, I won't try. So
yeah, because you overthink things sometimes, and then you wind up with a movie that is neither really good or really bad enough to be fun. And then we wind up with, like, I don't know.
Corey Haim horror.
No, it's not Corey Haim horror.
Haim on the Bone.
I seriously was trying to get a Corey Feldman film. I was going to do The Burbs, but I don't find it. I can't find horror anywhere in it. Yeah. So
it's not. Sorry. All right. So Catherine, tell us about your pick.
All right. So I'm super excited about this. And I thought, what better way to kick off our first set of movies to watch in October than with Vincent Price? He is one of the most respected actors in the horror genre. Just a little background on him. He was born in St. Louis, Missouri in 1911. He died in 1993. His career spanned over 50 years. He spent most of the 1940s doing a lot of serious and straight roles, but his career in horror really kicked off around 1953 with House of Wax. He did a string of Edgar Allan Poe movies with Roger Corman in the 1960s. And he remained relevant right up until the end, doing things like the narration in Michael Jackson's Thriller. He did the Disney movie, The Great Mouse Detective, and he had a really moving part in Edward Scissorhands. While he is famous for his horror movies and his villainous roles, in real life, he was a lover of art and cooking. He did a lot of work denouncing racial and religious prejudice. He was also one of the first celebrities to support LGBT rights and speak out about HIV and AIDS to help allay public fears. So he's a real rounded guy. Everyone who seems to know him really speaks very highly of him, talks about how kind and generous he was. So
I had no idea he was from St. Louis.
Yeah, you lost me at St. Louis. I don't like the guy anymore.
Oh, no.
Well, it's just he's from St. Louis. I always thought he was from England or something because he talks like Frasier.
Right. Yeah.
Seriously, St. Louis, that's crazy.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. He's got that nice kind of mid-Atlantic accent going on.
Yeah.
There's something very
instead of Midwest,
actually. Right?
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. So thought we'd start off. We'll just go in order here. Start off with House of Wax from 1953. So this was actually a remake of a 1933 movie called Mystery of the Wax Museum. It stars Vincent Price as a disfigured sculptor who rebuilds his destroyed wax museum by murdering people and using their wax-coated corpses as displays. It was a 3D movie originally, and you can see that in some of the little segments here, especially with the guy with the paddleboard.
God.
Yep.
That scene was nowhere near long enough. I was fascinated watching that paddleball coming at me like for 20 minutes. Yeah.
And there are some really cool.
I know.
There's some great cast members in this. You've got Charles Bronson as Igor.
Yeah. Crazy.
Right. And then Carolyn Jones, better known as Morticia Adams, as Candy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The roommate of the main lady.
Or Joan of Arc, eventually.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, the Joan of Arc.
Yeah.
So I think this is this movie I love. It's maybe not the scariest. I mean, when the wax figures are melting in that big fire scene at the beginning, that's kind of creepy.
That was creepy. we're reaching, Catherine, just trying to find anything.
Watching the faces melt. This is the movie my mom always mentioned was one of her, you know, when she saw it when she was younger, she thought this was terrifying. So I always kind of think of her when I see this, but it's fun. It's campy. You get Vincent Price kind of chewing the scenery, you know, going around as, you know, the guy kidnapping bodies. And then he presents himself as this prim and proper guy in the wax museum with the wheelchair who can't get up. You know. But let's see. Let's start with Matt. What did you think of House of Wax?
Yeah, the last time I'd seen this one was when I was a kid, too. And I also found those melting faces to be really creepy when I was a kid. Of course, I was pretty young, and it was sort of a Svengoolie kind of show, I think, or something that I watched it on. But yeah, I kind of found that was I understand what your mom is saying. But, you know, when I was a kid, now it's exactly. You know, it's not obviously scary. Not but I love the foggy streets, foggy streets of London. The paddle ball guy was not subtle. That was not subtle with the 3D thing at all. He was bouncing that thing right at the camera. And I also noticed, you know, I don't know if we've said this before, but women just don't faint anymore like they used to. What's that?
They don't have the corsets.
Well, that's true. Yeah. And boy, that one girl has a narrow waist. Yeah, I feel like she tightened up that corset all the way to her spine. I don't know where her
insides went. I don't know where
insides went.
I think the fainting couch industry has all but dried up.
Yeah, it pretty much has. That's true. Yeah.
Where would you get a fainting couch nowadays?
Yeah, I don't think so. Now you just fall on the ground. Yeah. I think it was probably a way for the director or whatever to just get a character out of the way, is just have a woman faint, you know? Yeah. What, Mark?
Is that a real thing? They had fainting couches?
Yeah. Well, that's what they called them, yeah.
It's basically a chaise lounge.
But yeah, basically. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Let's see. And I thought that I really liked the street scenes in this. I thought it looked really good. This movie looks great for its time period. And I thought that especially those street scenes, and I'm sure they were on a set somewhere or whatever, or they were done on a studio lot. But I thought that the nighttime scene where the girl is being chased by Vincent Price, I thought he moved really creepily in this part of it. And but that whole, you know, it kind of went on for a while too. She would like run down and then turn a corner, and I'm like, just keep running, girl. Just what are you doing? And then she just randomly picked a house to knock on, you know. I thought this was good. I really enjoyed it. I think it was perfect for Shocktober. Yeah, good movie. So I was happy. I was happy to get to go back and see this again.
Yeah.
I too, like Matt, I believe this is probably the second or third time I've seen it. My first, obviously, was on a Saturday afternoon watching Son of Svengoolie. And I never really thought of Vincent Price as being an action star. But the first, like, you know, when his boss decides, hey, let's split the insurance money and light this place on fire, and then they get into a fight. That's just nothing but action. And it's, you know, kicking somebody across the room, and then you jump at him, you try to choke him, roll on. I had the choreographed very well, but never once did I think Vincent Price is going to start, you know, jumping all over the room like Jean-Claude Van Damme. But he does. He does a good job of it. The musical score in these films are tremendous. If they like shove the mood down your throat or into your ears, I guess in this case,
yeah.
It's just phenomenal.
Yeah. The atmosphere is great.
Yeah. Yeah. I love a good intermission in the movie.
Yeah.
I was so shocked. 10-minute intermission.
I was laughing my ass off. And so all of a sudden the screen comes to the word intermission. Like, we need more of that nowadays. We should bring that back.
Have you ever been to a movie that had an intermission, Joe?
I don't believe so.
I did. I saw the only one I can think of anyway was I saw Reds in the theater back in the early 80s. It was a Warren Beatty movie, and it was over 4 hours long, and they had an intermission in there.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I saw Dances with Wolves, and they had an intermission.
Oh, did they? Yeah, maybe they did. Maybe that was the last one.
Plus I love a good movie, a good horror movie that's got dancing girls and like a chorus line. That was a nice little add in.
Was that in 3D? You think that was in 3D? I was asking.
Sure it was.
Yeah. Probably. I mean, the whole movie was, but yeah, it was probably one of those times where things kind of jumped out.
Yeah. So when the boys.
When the, I don't remember the girl's name, the gold digger girlfriend that was snuggling up to the guy that used to own the wax museum who collected all the money. Excuse me. They're sitting together in that club and he's like, yeah, I got the money. I got $25,000. And they're talking about, or she is talking about, we could go up to Niagara Falls and get the license. And he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, you know, make it legitimate. And his reaction is basically like, why not? Could be fun. Like, sir, she's talking about getting married at Niagara Falls to you, like legally, and that should probably warrant more of a response than should be fun. But
why not?
This is the first time that I had any idea that was Morticia Adams in this, let alone Charles Bronson. I mean, God, talk about chiseled cheekbones on a guy. But yeah, it was. I wish there was more suspense. Like, I wish I don't know, was like a 4-year-old kid and I had no idea that was Vincent Price behind the mask. Like, you know, it's like, you know what's going to happen. it unfolds really easily. But I'm sure the first time I saw it when I was some chubby little kid sitting around eating Doritos on a Saturday afternoon, it was probably more, you know, intense. But
yeah,
still, it's a really good movie. It's a classic.
All right. And Mark, what did you think?
Guys, ladies, this is the first time I've ever seen House of Wax.
Oh, really?
Never seen it. So I was super excited about it. But I mean, this was the last Vincent Price film I saw, and I basically did a marathon and watched them all in a row, basically. And so I was a little Vincent Priced out. So that doesn't take away like how like classic, you know, this film was. Some of its mannerisms, his voice, and just like he's kind of the same character, so it was kind of getting wary on me, at least. But that's just another thing. The paddleboard. Did you guys hear what the paddle guy said? Like, he broke the fourth wall. He was talking to the theater goers, and he's going, you know, I'm gonna hit that popcorn in your mouth and all that. I thought that was. Thought that was pretty cool. Yeah,
that was funny.
I mean, Charles Bronson, I mean, yeah, didn't even realize that was him. I was like, God, it looks familiar, but man, what a weird looking guy. I'm like, who is that guy? Who is that? Because, you know, he doesn't have the classic mustache, but his face is so chiseled, like Joe said. Like, his jawline and his cheekbones, it's like you cut diamonds with that face. And it's in his body. I mean, he was so chiseled and like just
carved out of wood.
Golly, just scary almost. And thank God that I watched the entire series of The Little House on the Prairie, because the Reverend Alden played in Little House on the Prairie. He would played Sergeant Shane, and I've never seen him like act in anything, you know, else but Little House on the Prairie. He was really funny in it. I liked him. But when Vincent Price is at the very end, and he's putting the wax and getting, you know, boiling the wax, and it's coming. Why the hell were the cops moving so slow? Like, it's like he's gonna get her and all that, and they're just walking through, like breaking through the door, and they're using all this. And when they break through the door, they just walk. Just like nonchalantly. It was driving me crazy. It's like, run, get in there. But yeah, no, it's like the 10 minute intermission just got me going. But no, it's a fine classic film. I'm glad I finally saw it. I do have to say that, I mean, yes, this is a classic, but have you guys seen the remake for House of Wax?
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy that one. I think that's a really good film. But the one with Paris Hilton, have you guys seen it? Matt? Joe?
It's not just to watch Paris Hilton die.
Yes, she has.
I have not seen it.
It's actually not a bad film. And Paris Hilton actually does a fine job acting. I mean, she plays a blonde bimbo, yeah, but it's...
What a stretch.
It fits the part. What a stretch. Guys, check out House of Wax. It's really good. I was thinking for my next pick, I was going to do
Paris Hilton horror.
No. I was going to do like the remake of House of Wax, remake of House on Haunted Hill. But they didn't have a remake for Theater of Blood, or else I probably would have done it.
Yeah.
That's a good idea, though.
Yeah. Yep, that's it.
Awesome. Well, cool. I'm glad you got to see it for the first time.
Yeah.
So yeah, next up we've got House on Haunted Hill from 1959. And in this one, Vincent Price plays an eccentric millionaire who, along with his wife, have invited 5 people to a house for a haunted house party. Whoever stays in the house for one night will earn $10,000. And as the night progresses, the guests are trapped in the house with an assortment of terrors. So this is a William Castle film. William Castle, of course, was known for his gimmicks. The gimmick in this was something called Emergo. So when the skeleton rises from the acid in the film, a plastic skeleton on a wire would appear and fly over the heads of the audience. That was the big gimmick on this one. The exterior shots of the house were filmed at the Ennis Brown House in Los Feliz out here in Los Angeles. And it was designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. According to IMDb, the skeleton in the movie is a real skeleton. And then
I love how he's got his own credit.
I did in the too. Movie.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Really?
Yeah. The part of skeleton is played by Skeleton.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's in the credits and it's in IMDb.
Oh my god.
For people like Joe and I, there is a Riff Trax version of this, if you ever want to watch that.
Oh.
I do, actually.
There's kind of one notable cast member I wanted to shout on this, and that's, I don't know if you say it's Elijah Cook Jr. He's a character actor who's in everything around this time. He was in Rosemary's Baby, The Big Sleep, The Maltese Falcon. He's the guy that from the very, he's the head at the very beginning of the movie that's warning people about the ghosts.
The drunk.
And, yeah, that's where I've seen him.
He's in everything.
He's in everything. He's
the drunk.
Yeah, the drunk guy.
I wanted to get the sound clip of Vincent Price saying, there'll be, what was it? There'll be some ghosts, and maybe a few murders. I wanted to get that little, because I've seen that on videos.
Yeah, he's got that great opening monologue there. And he's just so much fun in this. He looks like he's having a great time, really chewing the scenery on this one. And it's just... It's, again, another classic movie. Maybe not the scariest nowadays, but it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch the people uncover, you know, there's a whole, it's a very elaborate plot that is revealed as the movie progresses. And a lot of things had to come together.
It all comes together in the end.
Yeah. And there's a lot of timing issues that had to be just exactly right. Yeah.
I really think the scariest thing in this movie is the old woman, the caretaker. Who I don't think they ever explain how she floats across the room. But.
No, but that is creepy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Joe, what did you think about House on Haunted Hill?
That blind cleaning lady, she's by far the creepiest thing in this film. And I agree. A lot of this really does. It's funny. I'm watching the trailer for this movie as we're talking. I did have one note. There was a scene where one of our guests was in a dark room. I know I need to be more specific, but as she was backing up towards a door, like a monstrous hand comes reaching out to like grab her and she runs away. The hand was never explained.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, ghosts and skeletons, I get that, but now
I'm assuming it was one of the caretakers.
Could be, although it was never explained. Every door in that entire place needs WD-40 because they all creak really bad.
Yeah.
Speaking of, this whole thing has to be timed out very well. I often wondered, I think this is like fourth or fifth time I've seen this. I often wondered when he starts handing out those Colt pistols to everyone. So just nonchalantly, they're here, take a gun, you get a gun, you get a gun. I like, they could have just killed anyone by accident in this whole house.
Yeah.
That they're locked into. And then everything would have went in a completely different direction. You know? I love the part, you know, played by the skeleton. First off, when they introduced the vat of acid in the basement, all I could think of is, I bet you that's going to come in handy a little later. And how they made an extra point to say it will dissolve everything except for bone. Now, let me repeat that. Bones are the only thing that can escape that acid. Everything else disappears. Okay, I'm going to remember that because that's going to come in handy. And then sure enough, later on, this skeleton comes chasing Annabelle through that dungeon area at about a half a mile an hour. And I just kept thinking, hey, Annabelle, just walk away and you won't be bothered by him anymore. But I love the old crazy blind lady. The movie starts off great. There's floating heads, tons of screaming, even during the credits. Like, talk about starting off with a bang. I think that's and that hanging harness that he used to like fake his wife's, or I guess she used to fake her death. I don't know. It's just My last note is that Watson Pritchard, who was the guy you were talking about, the character actor that's in everything at that time, he was probably voted most likely to commit suicide. The drunk. But I do like this movie. I think it weathers well. Obviously there was at least one remake, if not a couple. I would gladly do this. Somebody offers me even 10 grand by today's standards to spend the night in the house, basically just to be an alibi for a guy to let him get away with his, you know, murder of his own wife. So
easily.
Yeah. Sorry. Spoiler alert. So yeah, good film.
Yeah. All right. Mark, what did you think?
I saw this years ago and thought it was hokey fun, and I still do. It still holds up. I mean, it's a classic. Fortunately, I had the TV volume at max without me realizing it, and that blood-curdling scream that I jumped a mile high. My arms were above my head. I'm like, oh, my God. And my girlfriend, Shannon, she was just laughing out loud. She was just busting out laughing. She's going, I've never seen you jump like that. I'm like, that's the biggest scare I've had all year, I think. Oh my gosh. Scared me to death. But I mean, the modern look of this house, you know, this haunted house is so crazy. And the difference between the outside of the house and the inside, the interior, is so crazy different. It just doesn't match. I mean, I think the outside of the house looks really, really cool. But the interior is just so different. I mean, in the interior,
it's
like it
looks a castle on the inside.
Yeah, yeah. You expect to see like a Scooby-Doo haunted house or something like that. This is what I'm having problems with. Okay, so for the wife was offered, like Vincent Price offered her, his wife, like, oh, I'll give you $1 million, you know, if you want to leave. And she's going, no, I want it all. I looked up how much $1 million was back in 1959. That's $12 million. She's so selfish. She didn't have to do this whole big plot of like trying to kill her husband. Like, she could have just had $12 million and walked away with the doctor, you know, a long time ago. And then, how much was it for, it was what, like, they offered $5,000 or $10,000?
$10,000.
$10,000. So that's $100,000 for those guests. But so when Vincent Price admits that, you know, I killed him, do what you want with me, and just like walks up the stairs, what always bothered me is like, were they going to rat on him and like not take the money, or are they going to take the money? We never get that answer at the end. It always bothers me about that. Drives me crazy. Also, with the actress who played Nora, you know, the one that screams all the time. And did you guys know that she committed suicide like 10 years later?
Oh, no.
Yeah, she died. She died at the age of 36, and she committed suicide with a gunshot wound after like her husband divorced her, and she went in a deep depression. So like I was doing research, I just saw that, like, oh my gosh. And so it's just like, just watching her differently, I'm just going, oh, she just died at such a young age. So what a shame. But it's classic movie, Catherine. Love it.
Awesome, man. Matt, what did you think?
I think this is fun. I do think that old lady ghost was really creepy, especially when it's floating. I thought it was pretty effective. It never really explains how they got her to float. Yeah. Or why, if it was all fake, why the other person didn't figure that out. And there's definitely a lot of talking in these old movies. It's almost more like a play in a way, these kinds of things. The Frank Lloyd Wright house, the Ennis house that is in this, at least the exteriors, it didn't look like that was the house they were in when they were inside. Like, the inside of that house looks like a, you know, a Victorian mansion kind of thing. the windows and everything, nothing matches what the outside of it looked like. And of course, obviously, a Frank Lloyd Wright house would have looked very different on the inside, of a completely different kind of style. Mm-hmm. I've seen that house in person. It's up here in, I think it's in the Hollywood Hills, and it's really cool looking. But, and it was also, for the Buffy fans out there, I think it was Angel's house. The exterior, anyway. And then at a certain point, there's a rope that comes in through the window. And I don't know how they, if this is all fake, how did they manage to make that? I mean, there's a lot of things you gotta.
Oh my God, that's right.
You kind of have to.
Mention of disbelief.
Just disbelief. Or it's like you have to forget it by the time the reveal happens at the end, where it's all just fake. It would have been better. I mean, they could have solved that by just having, you know, some element of the supernatural in this house as well. But anyway, this rope comes and the girl doesn't move. She just stands there.
Has it wrap around her?
Like, I guess she's frozen or, you
get
know.
Get out of the way.
It's like sleep paralysis while she's not sleeping. I don't know. I would say all you have to do is kind of step out of that, that rope, and it didn't seem like it would be that hard to get out of. And then there was a certain point when she's screaming in the stairwell and no one in the house heard this. Like, the stairs were right outside their rooms. And then at the end, I think Vincent Price grabs the skeleton. Well, it was still soaking wet with acid.
Acid, so yeah.
Why his hand would have been peeling off. This is a fun one. I really enjoy it. And I think it is a pretty good twist for the time. And I could see people back then, you know, finding it pretty creepy, that ghost and all of that. Obviously, the skeleton, you know, coming at them is not, you know, and that's quite a puppet show he's got there. And, you know, but it did it did explain the wires on it. I don't know why his wife didn't see them, but yeah. So anyway, fun movie though.
Yeah. I think his hands were okay with the acid because Vincent Price is all made out of wax.
Oh, that's right.
The question is, why didn't the acid eat through the ropes on his puppeteer? Oh,
true,
thing?
True.
But that's for
unless they're
day.
Made out of bone.
That's right.
Because only bone survives.
Only bone survives. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bone rope.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So anyway, yes, another fun one.
You can get that at Home Depot.
And then that leaves us with a Theater of Blood from 1973. This one I hadn't seen, so this was fun for me to watch for the first time. In this, Vincent Price plays a deranged Shakespearean actor who takes revenge on his critics by using methods inspired by death scenes in Shakespeare's plays. Both Vincent Price and Diana Rigg consider this to be one of their favorite performances. And some notable cast members here, of course, you get Diana Rigg as Edwina. She's famous for The Avengers, and she's most recently, I think, in Game of Thrones. And then you've got Coral Brown, who played Chloe Moon, one of the critics. She's the one that died. She was electrocuted in the beauty parlor. She would go on to become Vincent Price's third wife. And they met doing this movie.
Oh.
That was kind of interesting. This was fun. I mean, I'm a theater graduate. I got my degree in theater, read lots of Shakespeare in college. So this was a lot of fun to see how they took death scenes from those plays and translated it to this. So this was a fun one. I enjoyed it. It's, again, very fun to watch. Lots of melodramatic acting, very over the top, but very creative. I hadn't seen anything quite like this before. So, Mark, what did you think about this?
To be a sore loser or not to be a sore loser? That is the question. I mean, this was all about just Vincent Price, his character, being a sore loser. And God, was this the best out of the three? This is a gem of a film. This is, I had so much fun watching Vincent Price enjoying himself. You can see himself enjoying himself on the screen. And I mean, it just, it, at first it started off like sort of a clunker, like, but it ramped up into a laugh fest for me. Absolutely, like, hilarity. From the bumbling cops to the great skills. But I mean, it's just, but all this because he just didn't get an award, like, an award that was basically not that big of a deal in the first place, since the critics were all in tuxedos and they're like after show awards, whatever. Like, it was done by 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So obviously it's not like the Oscars or anything like that. It's just this little film credit, you know, thing. And he just goes absolutely ape shit. But I love the "to be or not to be" monologue that, you know, his Shakespearean, his dive off the off the balcony. I was like, well, how is he gonna, like, you know, stage this? I mean, he's pretty high up, but actually he tried to commit suicide. And he just ends up, you know,
he failed at that too.
But I mean even, you know, I'll just bring up the fencing scene, just saying how crazy that is. I'll leave, you know, that for Matt and Joe to talk about.
He was talking about him being an action star. I was wondering watching that if he was actually the one doing those moves or if they got a stunt guy for him.
Oh, there had to have been a stunt guy. There's no way he was doing those flips. Oh my gosh. But yeah, what a great, great movie. I mean, this is just, this is a film that I will watch again, not twice, probably 5 times. This is high up there for me. I loved Theater of Blood so much. I mean, just with the doggies, the poodles, and
right.
I mean, that was just so over the top. Like, you know, after the bumbling cops like took off and they just come out, it was like a Benny Hill scene, like coming out of the van. I was like, na 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 na. I was just like, this is fantastic. Fantastic. And also, like, just all the kills were just so funny. And with the daughter, with the big reveal at the end, like, we all knew it was her. Like, I figured it out way early that was his daughter. But why was it the same costume, like disguise? It's like, it was like her inner self. Like, this is who I am. This is who I, you know, identify as. It's this crazy disco. Oh man. Oh, what a treat. And Vincent Price should always wear one of those big weaves. He looked like just like Bob Ross. Just like Bob Ross. It looked like he was having a great time in this film. What a pleasure. Thanks, Catherine.
Oh, yay. I'm so glad you liked it. And Matt, what did you think?
Yeah, I liked it too. I don't think I liked it as much as Mark, but I definitely thought it was an interesting, very strange movie. And it almost seemed, and I don't know, I didn't get a chance to look this up, but it almost seemed like it was personal, you know, like the idea of killing the critics and everything. And I'm sure even if Vincent Price didn't have anything to do with the writing or the idea of this, I'm sure it spoke to him, you know, because he had lived, and it almost seemed strange to me, because, or not strange, but it was like fitting, because here he is, this, you know, actor who is a really good actor, but he had always just been typecast into these horror movies all the time, and probably didn't get the greatest reviews. A lot of his movies didn't get great reviews, I'm sure, but the people who were around him, they had this kind of tribe of like homeless people who surround him, and that's who really loves the horror movies, are these very, not that homeless people, but you know what I mean, it's like the not upper crust of Manhattan society or whatever. It's not those people, it's the down to earth everyday people. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And I thought he was really good. And I thought, you know, this was, you know, it was a pretty brutal movie in a way. And it was a pretty dark character, you know, for him at his age, too. The opening music, I thought the soundtrack music was fantastic. It's just fantastic. The opening music, I'm like, this is a horror movie? It seemed like more like a romance or something, but it was priceless music, very 70s. Mm-hmm. And then there was a really cool shot I think it was at the horse. There was a horseback riding scene, and then there's a pull back of the camera from a mirror or whatever, and you think the woman is riding a horse, and it's like pulls back from a mirror. It was really just a, I'm not sure why they did it there, but it was a cool shot anyway. And I obviously there's some bumbling cops here. They should have shut this down in about 5 minutes because they kept going to the same theater, it seemed like, all the time, you know. So I would have thought that they could have solved this caper pretty quickly, but again, bumbling cops in horror are a theme, as we all know. So yeah, I enjoyed this one. I don't think I would watch it five times. I don't know how many times I would want to watch it again, but I appreciated it. I thought it was well done. I thought it looked good. There were some scenes I thought really looked good. So I think that was I can't remember which scene it was. I don't know, they were in a big area. I can't remember which play it was that they were doing. But anyway, I really liked it. So, yeah, good one. This was a good one to wrap up for me. I watched it last. So, yeah.
Joe, what did you think about Theater of Blood?
All right, I'll be the jerk. I didn't like it.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
This was like a Kmart version of Seven. You know, they've got the... the poster on the wall of all the plays the guy did, and he's killing these critics in the order that's on the poster. It's not exactly rocket surgery trying to figure out where the next move is going to be. His crew of merry men, the homeless people that follow him along, I didn't understand them, especially like when they tell his origin story and he meets them after he had committed suicide and failed at that. At first, they're like trying to rob him and like take stuff off of his person. And then like instantly, the minute he shows any sign of life, they are pouring this purple alcohol that they apparently really like, because that's all they drink throughout the whole thing, down his throat. And like one of the women starts kissing him, even though he's coated in mud. It's weird.
She was great.
I had no idea that being a theater critic was such a risky, deadly job. Some of the kills, I will say, I did like when the horse was dragging the guy into the other movie critics and they flipped him over. That I did like that one. However, when Vincent Price and his daughter, assistant, whatever, sneaks into that guy's house while him and his wife are, he smuggles himself in the steamer trunk and then gets out. He gets a hypodermic needle and sticks the guy's wife in the ass with it. And she just sort of like moans a little. And then he sticks the husband. He doesn't make a sound, but like 3 minutes later, she snapped out of it. And so he just hits her in the butt again with whatever this magic fluid is. I did notice there was one of those 1970s judo chop moves in there by Vincent Price during one of the fights,
yeah,
which I'm just fascinated with. I thought the fencing scene it's just so stupid.
Yeah. It was fantastic.
What a tremendous amount of things that had to come into play. Like, my fencing partner didn't show up. And we're in this huge gymnasium with trampolines and all this other equipment laying around that come into play. Balance beams and the pommel horse. And
yeah.
And then beautiful. This guy just decides, I'll fence against this giant man standing in front of me who I can't see because his mask is on. And I know nothing about, but, you know, let touche.
And he doesn't even recognize his voice, too.
No idea. Vincent Price as a 70s hipster hairdresser with the huge afro, that wasn't working for me at all.
I loved it.
So the reason I compared it to Seven is, so we've got that critic. Oh, and the music was killing me. We've got that critic in the pink suit that has the two dogs. When he comes on screen, like cue the bouncy oboe music, the boom, 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 boom. So when he goes in, we all knew damn well the minute Vincent Price came out as a like a chef host of a game show or whatever, like, oh, he's gonna eat the dogs. I don't know, it was just so over the top. Oh, and of course he did that stupid monologuing thing at the end. He's got one more critic left to kill, and he has this overly elaborate machine that has these two daggers that are going to come poke the guy's eye out. And if he didn't stop, if he would just shut his mouth and stop monologuing, he would have gotten away with it.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it was great.
Oh, it was God, a it was really awesome. Dr. Evil moment right there. So,
yeah.
I mean, Joe, I thought this was picked. I thought she picked this perfectly for you. Like the bumbling cops, like when they're trying to like move the cars, and you know, that was hysterical. I thought, I said, Joe's going to love this.
I knew Joe wasn't going to like that.
Oh yeah. My God. I'm actually shocked.
No, I will not watch it a second time.
I never know what Joe likes.
I agree with that. I can never tell.
I like to
I can never
I
tell.
Keep everybody guessing.
I can never tell what Joe is going to like, but I can usually tell what he's going to hate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well.
Yeah. Hey, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
3 out of 3 for me.
Fabulous. Yeah. Well, this was fun, and I thought it was kind of a nice, you know, retrospective-ish of his career. You get something from the early 50s, the late 50s, and then the 70s in there.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. So good job, Catherine. Thank you for those picks.
Yeah.
And our next pick is... Oh.
What?
Can we just let Catherine pick again?
What are you talking about?
Our next pick... Is the first time we've handed over the reins of the pick to Mark in almost 1 year, if not exactly 1 year, and it's a scary endeavor. But I mean, I wish I had the leprechaun franchise. Yeah, I wish I had some like
my last pick.
Music to play.
My last pick was the Predator franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was so long ago. There were only like 3 movies in the franchise.
Right.
No. All
right. So.
Leprechaun 1, 2, and 3. Ah!
Mark.
Yes.
This is as ominous as I can make the music. Unleash your pick upon us.
All right. So my pick is called Take 2. It's classic horror movies in their second installment of their franchises. So it's all part 2s. First one.
They're all better than the original.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
Matt Dari looks disappointed. So
I'm just waiting.
Yeah.
So the first one up is we have Slumber Party Massacre Part 2, 1987.
Okay.
You can find that on Prime, Plex, Pluto, or Tubi.
All right. Starting out pretty good. I like that.
Next is going to be Poltergeist Part 2, The Other Side. And that's going to be on MGN Plus, Tubi, the Roku channel, or Peacock. So Poltergeist 2. And then
What was that movie called?
Poltergeist.
Poltergeist, yes.
Poltergeist, that's what I said. And then it's also
Slumber Party Massacre 2 is also on Shudder.
Oh, it's also on Shudder.
Yeah.
And then the last one, can I get a drum roll?
Yeah, just a moment. All right, here we go.
We've never watched this, but I've been wanting us to review this film forever. And it is...
What a story, Mark.
Last but not least, we have the cult classic Troll 2.
Oh, nice.
From 1990. And that could be found on Pluto TV, Roku channel, and Tubi.
Yeah, definitely there is a Troll 2 for 2025, apparently. It looks like it's
feel like I need to watch Troll 1 to understand the story.
You don't.
Because isn't Julie Louis-Dreyfus in Troll 1?
I don't know. You don't need to see the first one.
There's also a really cool documentary about Troll 2.
Yes.
All right. So, Troll 2, Poltergeist 2, and Slumber Party Massacre 2. Those are your picks. Not bad, Mark. Not bad.
Thanks.
We can go with that.
Those Troll, are some... 1986, Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Wow. Okay. Well, hey, Shocktober, you can watch
and,
that.
And Sonny Bono.
Really? He's in Troll 1?
He's in the first one?
Oh, yeah.
Choice.
That's funny.
Yeah, but it's Troll 2 that...
Noah Hathaway plays a character called Harry Potter Jr.
Mm.
Yes. The character in that is named Harry Potter.
Hey. All right, so I have four movies to watch now.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll watch
this
Troll
2. Too intriguing.
Well, it is Shocktober awesome. Anyway, so you might as well yeah. fill up one of those days. So
yeah, I'm going to have
All
to.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, those are your picks, and go to www.cinescarehorror.com to check out our merchandise. We are on Halloween night, was just picked and given, or just invited to, or no, I'm sorry. It was The Foot of the Bed was just invited to the Toronto Horror Film Festival. So if you're there in Toronto in November, go see our first short film, The Foot of the Bed. And
nice
actually,
job, eh?
Huh?
Nice job, eh?
Not bad, eh?
Toronto.
Yeah,
Toronto. A bunch of hosers.
Oh, those hosers. And then we're actually going to be shooting our third short next weekend. Okay. It's going to be called The Decoration. Ooh. So that's it.
Cool.
Mark, this is your picks are what we're going to be celebrating on Halloween right. day.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. This was
I
a
love
diabolical
it.
Situation.
This is great.
You picked Troll 2.
I think in November, Joe, you and I, for our picks, are going to have to do a Missed the Mark episode for each of us, because I don't think Mark's watched many 2025 horror movies, so I think we're going to have to
miss the mark redux.
Yeah. Miss the mark redux and miss the mark electric boogaloo.
Yeah.
Part two.
All right. Well, that's it for this time. We will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
They're coming. Get you, Barbara.
Got a death curse.
It was a shark.
Little pig. Let's come in.
What is
it? We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
That's the biggest scare I've had all year, I think.